Today I'm going to be talking about the development of some SNP-based diagnostic tools that we've been working on with USDA APHIS and USDA ARS to improve the USDA's capability to rapidly identify boll weevil variants that are captured in traps as part of the eradication program. So there are some currently utilized diagnostic assays. One of them is molecular in nature, and one is morphological in nature. And they both have a couple issues. So the molecular assay uses the mitochondrial CO1 haplotype to determine which boll weevil variant is in which boll weevil variant the sample is. However, there are some CO1 haplotypes that occur in multiple variants of boll weevil. So if one of those haplotypes is returned by the analysis, then it cannot be used for any diagnosis. Morphology has some problems as well, specifically that the characteristics that they use can be labile to the rearing condition, so those morphological characteristics aren't necessarily reliable. A more recent limitation that's currently become an issue is that these two assays are based on an outdated understanding of boll weevil population genetic structure. Some recent work that our group has done, as well as others, have identified that there are two major geographic lineages, a western and southeastern boll weevil lineages, that are independent of their host associations. So this is an image showing two different hypotheses regarding boll weevil variation. The morphological three-form hypothesis is what's, The morphological three-form hypothesis is what's generally been regarded as the appropriate hypothesis in the past, wherein you have a southeastern boll weevil, which is the one that's famously been a pest of U.S. cotton, and is the subspecies Grandis grandis. And then there's a Thurberia weevil, which is endemic to southern Arizona and northern Sonora, which is associated with an Arizona wild cotton, and that's also given a subspecies designation of Grandis thurberii. And then in this model, there's also a Mexican boll weevil, which is regarded as an intermediate form, but was never given any formal subspecies designation. However, with the advent of genetic investigations of boll weevil structure, we have not found any evidence for a distinct genetic lineage of the Thurberia weevil. It's actually very similar genetically to other Western lineages. So this is the results of a principal component analysis I ran on 2,500 or so SNP markers generated through high-throughput sequencing. And what we can see here is that there's a major division between the East and West lineages that explains 35% of the variation in the data set. And what's really interesting is that this Arizona group here is from wild cotton, and this Sonora group here is from trap captures near fields in Sonora. So that's indicating that this Sonoran pest group is actually more closely related to the what's regarded as the non-pest Thurberia weevil than it is to other eastern pest weevils. So we have, and we're working on writing this up now, but these other papers that are listed have come to reject this three-form hypothesis and have started shifting towards a framework of the genetic two-form hypothesis. So again, the assays are based on that morphological hypothesis, not the new genetic hypothesis. Additionally, I want to also bring up that we've used this same SNP-based approach to do source determination for infestations of previously eradicated areas. I bring that up because I want to use them as an example to compare the efficacies of these different assays. So looking at this Hidalgo County, New Mexico group that's pointed to here on the PCA plot. So these were 24 weevils that were captured in traps along the U.S.-Mexico border in New Mexico. And as you can see here, using our SNP assay, we can clearly identify those as probable movement from Arizona populations. We also ran the CO1 haplotype assays and the morphometric assays on these same 24 individuals. Raul Ruiz's lab in Mission ran the CO1 haplotype assay, and Exant Shirley, she's also with APHIS, ran the morphometric assay. And we can see that there are clearly some problems with both of those assays. So whereas our SNP genotyping assay identified all 24 of these individuals as Thurberia or Western boll weevil, the CO1 haplotype, half of the haplotypes were inconclusive, unable to be used for diagnosis. And with the morphometrics, there were some inconclusive weevils, and there were also some that were incorrectly identified as Grandis grandis. So The aim for our research that I'm going to talk to you about today is to develop a SNP-based PCR assay that allows us to harness the power and the accuracy of these SNP-based approaches in a rapidly deployable manner. So one of the drawbacks to the SNP-based approach I showed you on these principal component analyses is that it's a very costly and time-intensive process, whereas the CO1 and morphometric assays can be carried out in a day. So we needed to come up with a way where we could harness that power of the SNPs, but turn it around in time that's applicable for managers, because when a weevil pops up in a trap, they want to know that day, do we need a spray or do we not? Is this the pest or is it not? Where did it come from? So we needed to identify which of those SNPs could be used for a rapid assay. We had to test the performance of those assays using some samples of known origin, and then we had to streamline and optimize the assay performance. So the method we decided to use to design our assays was to do a custom TACMAN genotyping assay. TACMAN is a pretty standard assay that's been used by the USDA for a variety of other applications. One common application is they'll use it to identify genetically transformed flies that have been sterilized to detect if they have the lab strain or the wild strain. And the way this basically works is you have a normal PCR reaction where there's amplification of the DNA, but you introduce two probes. And these two probes are going to bind to different variants of the DNA, and they're going to fluoresce differently. So when you introduce a sample to the assay, which way it fluoresces is detectable by a qPCR machine and allows you to make a determination as to which variant of the DNA that individual has. So for our assays, we had 131 Western boll weevils and 193 Southeastern boll weevils, and we carried out a FST analysis. So an FST analysis is a proxy for gene flow that's based on heterozygosity, and for things that are very genetically distinct that would have, one variant is homozygous for one allele and the other variant is homozygous for an alternative allele, you would see an FST of 1, and that would be something that would be completely diagnostic. If you have a lower FST all the way down to 0, that would mean there's more gene flow and that's not a good locus. So we tested all 2,506 of our loci to find the top 10 SNPs that had the FSTs closest to 1, and we identified it's interesting, actually, that we didn't find a single locus that was 100% diagnostic. That's a story in itself, but we did manage to find 10 loci that had FSTs of 0.94, so we can expect them to be 94% diagnostic or better. So once we had the top 10 SNPs that we were interested in, we have a very preliminary reference genome for this species. So we can go into the genome, find where that SNP is, and pull out a sequence of DNA surrounding that SNP, and it's submitted to an algorithmic tool that the Thermo Fisher, who makes these assays, provides, and they can generate the primer and probe sequences using that algorithm. And then essentially you order the assays and start testing them. So we ordered all 10 assays, and we first tested on a very small sample size, only 3 of the Western lineage and 3 of the Southeastern boll weevil lineage. And you can see in panel A the results of our first of all 10 of those assays. They were all ran at the same time, same plate, so that's why they're all presented together. And what we're looking for are the homozygotes. So in yellow circles, we have the homozygotes for the Southeastern allele, and we have homozygotes for the Western allele in the blue squares. Heterozygotes are in the green triangles, and negative controls or non-calls are in the black diamonds. Generally, we do not want to see heterozygotes. That means it's that's a SNP that has some heterozygosity. We're looking for homozygote loci. And we're also looking to make sure that these are correct calls. So there were actually a few assays that did not perform well, either because they had low amplification, or they had some heterozygosity, or they were actually making incorrect calls. So of those 10 initial assays, we had 4 that performed well. They've been isolated here in panel B. And those 4 are the ones that we moved on with for further testing. And we eventually narrowed it down to a single locus, that we call 317. That's just happens to be the SNP number it is, that we've really got a lot of confidence in. This is one run that we had 20 Western lineage boll weevils and 26 Southeastern lineage boll weevils, and you can see that we have all homozygotes, and they were all correctly called. So we now have this really powerful assay. We think it's very diagnostic. It's good amplification. It's working well and accurately. But the workflow is still pretty long. It's a 3-day workflow, so still too slow. The CO1 assay, again, and the morphometric assay can be done in a day. Also, the DNA extraction method I was using is completely destructive, so the sample's destroyed. There's no reference we can go back to. So now we needed to streamline and optimize this assay so that it could actually be applied alongside the CO1 and morphometric assays. So we switched to a different DNA extraction method using a QIAGEN kit called DNEasy. That's what's currently used for the CO1 assay. We did this so we can now do one DNA extraction and use it for both assays, which gives both assays some more power because they can confirm or contrast each other. And we also only use a single hind leg for this assay. So this is the result of 12 individuals. I had 6 Western and 6 Southeastern boll weevil. And using a single hind leg and the DNEasy extraction kit, we had, the legend is wrong here. It's not the 10 initial assays. It's just this one assay. And we saw still pretty good success. There were a few individuals that did not amplify well, probably because they had some degraded DNA, but I think we can still further optimize the protocol to recover DNA, even from degraded samples. So in summary, we have developed a high-performance assay for a diagnostic SNP that can discriminate between Western and Southeastern boll weevil lineages with an expected 94% accuracy or greater, and it's down to a 8 to 10-hour workflow. So theoretically, if we get a boll weevil that morning, we can run this assay and give you a diagnosis by the end of the workday. We're currently working on validating these assays across multiple labs, multiple personnel, and multiple equipments. So Raul Ruiz's lab is doing that, and then Lindsay in Charles Suh's lab is going to be testing these as well. And we're also going to be testing for false positives by making sure that these assays don't amplify in other non-Grandis anthonymous species. So with that, I'd like to acknowledge my collaborators and our funding sources, and I'd be happy to take any questions if there are any. Thank you.